You'll join me today in Matthew 5, verses 38. We are a child of God. We are children of God. Thank you, Josh. And we are no longer slaves to fear. I don't want you afraid of today, if there is anything, but may that minister to you. But as we continue today through the Sermon on the Mount, we like to read about mercy and we like to read about grace and the good things, but through the Sermon on the Mount, it's just like Jesus has on the gloves and he's just wearing you out. And there are those that I'm like, I know that one's for you and that one's for you and that one's for you. I really don't think that, but this one here is for me. And it just has wore me out. And I don't know if I said it out loud. Stephanie, I don't know if I said it. I don't want to. Tuesday, I was praying through it and said, Lord, I don't want to preach this message. I don't. Some of you have problems with this or that. But when it comes to the things that we're going to talk today, I struggle with. I'm not a prejudiced man against race and social status and social economic and things like that. But I don't like a mean person. I don't. And I'm very passionate and emotional about their destruction. And I say that as a sin, not to glorify sin, but to come to you. And as a pastor today, I stand before you just as a man, just as many of you are, and a person that is in need of a Savior. And to claim anything before I go into the Word of God would be wrong. And so I struggle with this. And so God is working on me, and I know he's working on you, and I will share his truth, and I will receive his truth, and I pray that you would do the same. But again, God is, or Jesus here, he's been dealing with first the Beatitudes, and then we'll be the salt, we'll be the light, and then he has come to fulfill the law. He hasn't come to remove it, he's come to fulfill it, and he's been taking line by line or specific lines that have been abused, they've been misused, and Christ is not only holding them up and re-explaining them, but he's also extending them, and then he is the example of it all as well. But let's pray, and then we'll read. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to read, to understand, to comprehend, to preach, to understand, and then to also to go out and to live, Lord, the truth of your scriptures and of nothing else. We do pray, Lord, you'd bind the enemy that comes against us. We do pray, Lord, that you would convict this sin that can well up in our hearts. And may you and only you be glorified in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 5, verses 38 through 42. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. So here Jesus teaches a very hard message, one that had been abused, one that was taken out of context, one that was, was used as a purpose of retaliation, but that is not what was ever intended for it. So the first question that we're going to deal with today is, what is the true meaning of this? What is the true meaning of this statement that Jesus is taking here? Well, first, what it is not a guide for personal revenge. It wasn't about that. It wasn't put in the law that, hey, if you do this to me, well, I'm going to do this to you. But more what was happening at this time is this was a law that was given to a merciless nation, a merciless society, and And the purpose, going to the next part, the purpose was to provide mercy and justice, because as I was saying, it was a merciless society, and if somebody got hurt, say they lost a use of their hand, or lost a hand, or lost an eye, or things like that, well, then it would lead them to go not only to destroy the man, but to destroy his family, to destroy villages, and it would cause war and destruction. And so the original intent of this was to a merciless society to limit retaliation to that which was committed. It would be equivalent. It would be, if we could say, fair. And the truth of this too, it was never a law that had to be executed. If you were to hurt my hand, or if you were to hurt me, or hurt my family, I did not have to fulfill this. If you say, I did not have to go take your hand, I didn't have to go take your eye, I didn't have to tooth for a tooth, a fracture for a fracture, whatever it would be, it was never a law that had to be committed. It was one of limitations, one that also would guide the courts at this time to administer justice. Its purpose was for mercy in a merciless society. And also, what is true at this time too is that money could be exchanged to satisfy the injury or the debt that was caused by whatever happened at this time. This study was the first time I ever thought about that law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, as being a purpose of mercy. But it sounds a whole lot more like God, doesn't it? To extend that mercy. In Christ, we see today that he's extending that mercy. And when you consider Christ and all that he has done, that even makes greater sense to us. But he writes, "Do not resist an evil person," and talks about turning your cheek twice. And I like a story that one man shared that he was a minister, and he was a former boxer. I think I may have shared this a couple years ago with you, but somebody mugged him and hit him in the cheek and then hit him again. And he said, "God, he's hit them both. I don't know what else to do next except to take care of business." And while that's funny, again, that's not the intent of it here. But it says, "Do not resist an evil person." To be careful with that, there are times that we do need to resist an evil person. We see that Christ even resisted evil people. We see that he ran the money changers out of the temple twice. We see that he was slapped by a servant of the high priest, and God or Jesus did respond to that as it was in injustice. There are times that we do need to not submit to things that are immoral, things that are injustices. We do need to stand up for what we know is right in Scripture. But we must do that in Christ's way and not in our way. And there are some times that we do need to take right stands for our family and for ourselves. But again, those are always in the intentions of how Christ would lead, and should be through seeking God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And we also see Paul resisted evil people. We see that he was jailed without trial, and remember, they tried to remove him from the jail, and he said, "No way, I'm not leaving here because you've jailed me wrongly. I'm a citizen of Rome," and he made the leaders come and apologize to him, and then they escorted him out. I mean, that's pretty bold. They let me out. They open up the door. I'm gone. You know, forget your apology. I'm out of here before you lock the doors again. But not Paul. And there was good things. God was working through that. And that is the point that we're going to see through this all, is that when we respond like Christ, there is a work that is beyond us that God is doing. Again, one that we may not know on this side of heaven when we do things his way. We also see that Paul was about to be scourged because he was a believer in Christ. But he did resist that. He said, "Hey, who are you to scourge a citizen of Rome? remember that in the book of Acts. There's a time he stood before the religious council of the time and called them a whitewashed walls. There's a time standing in front of Festus that he was going to send him back to the Jews, but he knew what God had called for him, and he rejected that. But do not resist an evil purpose. And again, the purpose, reject an evil person. And the purpose of this is to control the irresponsible and the unregulated passions of men. We've seen the stories, we've heard the things of just how lives can change in the midst of emotion, negative emotion, anger, rage, foolishness. And that was the purpose of this law here. It means that we are not to seek to add evil by doing more evil. When we retaliate, when there's revenge, when there's malice, that is adding evil. Evil is never a solution to other evil. Never. Never do we find that in Scripture. As a matter of fact, we find in several places the opposite of that. We'll read that here in just a minute. But we're not a people who are to bear a grudge. We're not to resent. We're not to seek revenge, because all this consumes us. It can consume us. It can consume our mind. It consumes our emotions, and those things get our eyes off of Jesus, and keeps us from worshiping Him. It is, again, its purpose is to lead us towards mercy and towards justice. Now, this eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, we know that comes from the Old Testament. But also, I want to look at something that's not going to be on the board. I didn't give this to you, Jesse. But it's in Leviticus 19. And you can either write this down or turn with me quickly. It will not be on the board unless he does something amazing. But Leviticus 19, verses 17 through 18, we find the law in here. We also will find an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth in the law. But also we find in Leviticus 19, verses 17 and 18, where it says, "You shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but shall not incur sin because of him." So here it says, hey, there shouldn't be hate. That, hey, you may need to challenge something, you may need to reprove your neighbor, but it should not be sinful. In verse 18, it says, "You shall not take vengeance." Now, this is in the same mindset, the same God, the same time period, the same Moses, the same people of Israel in the wilderness, that this is said at the time of a tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye. But it says, "You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." We often know that love your neighbor as yourself. We see that in Matthew and the Mark 12:30 verses 30. I think it's 12:31, and we see that as a New Testament concept. But we find it given in the Old Testament law at the same time where this law that we are looking at is given. Vengeance and adding evil to solve evil is never God's way. Never. And then if we read one too, I just have it written down here. Proverbs. I want to look at Proverbs. It's not going to be on the board. These are the only two that will not be on the board. I encourage you to write them down if you're not going to read them with us, and read them later. Chapter 20, Proverbs 20. Verse 22, where it says, "Do not say, I will repay evil." Listen to this. "Wait for the Lord, and he will save you." When we get to these places where there has been something against us, that we see that there is value in coming to the Lord first, and there's help. There is health. There is life in confessing to God everything that you're going through. "Lord, this is what happened. Lord, this is how I feel. Lord, this is how I'm struggling. Lord, help us in this." And it is good to give those things. And as we saw in the bulletin note today, and as we've seen so many times, that when we come to Him with all, with all that's on our heart, with all that's on our mind, with all that's in our life, and we lay it before him, there is a work that God can do through it. And he, we read this in Romans 8:28, where he can produce good out of our situations. Oh, he can. But again, coming back to the point is that a believer, a follower of Christ, is not to retaliate. Not to retaliate against insults, not against threats of bodily harm, not to be consumed with fighting over our rights and our prosperity and our privileges or our possessions. Because we live in a world of division. I mean, you can turn on the news and we see that quickly, a world of division. We live in a country of division, of disputes, of bitterness, of quarreling, and of wars, mainly because of self-centeredness. And Christ is saying, not any of that. A follower of Christ is somebody that's to be a person of peace, somebody that is focused on God in everything, knowing that there is a greater mission that we are supposed to be through. Now, know that not everybody in our lives are seeking peace. And even from time to time, people will wind up in the church that are not seeking peace. And there are things that are given in Scripture and how to deal with those people. And those people who are not who are bringing division, there are ways to deal with them in love and with hopes of restoration. But a follower of Christ, again, is supposed to be a person of peace, somebody who lives for Christ. And when we live for Christ, we know that our main mission is to be a disciple of Christ and to make disciples of Christ. And we cannot be a disciple maker nor a disciple if we're not living for Christ and proclaiming the things of Christ through the way we live and the way we talk. An authentic believer, and that's one of our core values, is authenticity. Are those people who say and do the things that we believe. And so being like Christ, even when we struggle with it. But again, with a focus of not ourselves and what can we accumulate, what can we do, but how can we reach the lost world? A follower of Christ is someone who goes the extra mile. Now, the context in this passage of what we just read, a conquered nation, often they would be tasked with at any moment to carry something an extra mile. It could be a Roman, just imagine a Roman guard or a Roman leader, that they would either carry water, supplies. Some had even said, I've heard armor and different things that they would just pick somebody in the conquered nation, in this case would be Israel, and the Israelite would have to carry their belongings for a mile. That was a requirement. And Christ is saying here, hey, not only do it for one, but even take it for two. It's about attitude. And it's only in the love of Christ that something like this can be done. But we go the extra mile through forgiving. We go the extra mile through serving. We go through the extra mile by meeting other people's needs. And the reality of this too, being a follower of Christ, is we recognize the true problem. The true problem, it often looks like people, but it is not people. And for that, I want to read 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, it will be on the board, but you're still free to follow me there. Encouraged always to write it down. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 22 through 26. It says, now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. We see that which we're supposed to be pursuing. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all. Be kind to some. Be kind to those who go to your church. Be kind to your family. No, be kind to all. Able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. So there's supposed to be a correction, but it's with gentleness. Friend, there is no place in the kingdom of heaven for a Christian jerk. There isn't. There isn't. Ever. But some, I'm afraid, and I'm not being joking, that I think some see it as a spiritual gift. Hey, this is just the way that I am. No, that's the way you are without Christ. It's wrong. gentleness. It's a fruit of the Spirit, and anything done in the name of Jesus that's not in gentleness or of the Spirit is a sin. If perhaps God may grant them, listen, this is the purpose, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. Why? If perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the who, church? Of the devil. Listen to this. Having been held captive by him to do his will. Sounds a lot like Ephesians 6, that our battle isn't against flesh and blood. And we see it here again, that hey, our problem often has a face to it that looks like a man or looks like a woman. But when we look, there's an enemy that has taken them captive, that has and that is doing his will through them. And the way that we live for Christ, whether it requires us to turn the other cheek, whether it's to give up a tunic or to give up a robe or to not retaliate or to defend ourselves, it may lead that to the Holy Spirit working through us in such a way that sets them free. That's the goal, not to build our kingdom here. But I mean, it seems that way, that you know, that we got to build our kingdom here. But no, when we come to a place of truly understanding God and seeking him with all of our heart, we see that our kingdom isn't here, that our kingdom is in heaven, and our responsibility is to take as many people as possible, and that may require turning a cheek. It may require losing something that we think that we need or that we would value. Oh, just imagine there's a work that God is doing. People are trapped in their sin. Imagine all those people that we won't hang around with, people that we don't want to deal with, people that we just, they don't make us feel good to be around. We know they need the Lord, but they're just mean. Ah, but they are trapped in sin. They are snared, as we just read. They're snared by the devil doing his will, and the only hope they may see or find in the love of God may be through you and through your gentleness. Imagine that. That's more to me. How? So how do we do this? How can we live in such a way? How can we accomplish this truth? Oh, it's supernatural. It's supernatural. You know, there's some of us, you may be naturally kind and naturally gentle and naturally merciful. But all those things we see, they're the fruit of the Spirit. They come with fruits of righteousness. And we pray from time to time. I pray from time to time, Lord, purge us of the deeds of our flesh with your fruits of the Spirit. And so they're supernatural. Us living like this in our own strength and our own morality, it's impossible and it's exhausting to maintain. But we see it's supernatural. First, we see Jesus is our example. Jesus at this time, early in Matthew 5, those disciples, those people that he's talking to on the side of the mount, they have yet to know what he's going through, what he will go through, but we have the whole story here, and we see that Jesus is preaching these words, and we know that he will live those words. Here's a man that was sin-free, that came for he came for the purpose of setting us free. He said, remember, we've read it a couple weeks ago, he didn't come to condemn us, because the reality, we're already condemned. We're already condemned. He sees that, hey, my people are ensnared by the enemy, they're ensnared by evil, and something has to take place to set them free, so let me go and pay the price for them. Oh, he's our example. And he calls us to be like him. There is no way that we can do this on our own. He has redeemed us by his death. He not only turned a cheek, he gave his life. Not only commanded, but he lived it. He extends mercy. So here, the law, it defined mercy, it provided mercy, it defined and provided justice as well. But we see Jesus, he extends that even more. We got to be in our word. We got to know Jesus. I tell you, when we read and we read and we come through passages like these, we're like, Lord, I don't like this passage. He said, it's not about you. Follow me. Next, we see the Holy Spirit is our helper. In John 14, 15 and following verses and all through that, and it skips a spot, then Matt back in verse 26. We won't look at this today, but you can write that down and read it. We see Jesus getting his disciples ready, and he says, hey, I'm sending you a helper. That, hey, I've told you to do all these things, but he's going to remind you of what I've taught you. He's going to empower you to do these things. We just talked about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. These aren't things that we can buy. You don't get issued them when you become a member of the church. Now, this is the Holy Spirit working in you on this journey of life where we're becoming more like the image of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, he says, I'm sending you a helper. And he will say to you the things that I have said. And he will lead you to glorify me. And the things I have taught are from the Father, and I will glorify him. So it's supernatural. Jesus is our example. The Holy Spirit is our helper. And we see here that God gets the glory. God gets the glory. But when we obey him, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it doesn't feel good, when we obey him, he is doing a work through us. And imagine just getting to the other side of heaven and seeing what God has done when we've been obedient. Probably we didn't feel anything. Maybe it didn't feel good, but we get on the other side and we see what he did. Things that we never saw here. I was about to talk about a song, but then I realized I didn't remember all the words, so I won't talk about the song. Josh, I think it was Water and Dirt by Corey Asbury, I think. We're water and dirt. And it hit some things that really spoke to me, but I don't know why I brought it up. I couldn't remember it. But big idea as we wrap up. A great Christian ethic, not the only, but one of many. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. And as you write that down, I want to conclude today by reading from Romans 12. I'm going to read verses 14 through 21. I'm going to give you a minute to write that down. A great Christian ethic. Do not repay anyone for evil. Evil for evil. And that makes sense, doesn't it? It does. That only works in algebra. If y'all can remember when you did that. Only a negative times a negative makes a positive. That's the only time in mathematics. But not in the Christian life. And may it not be of us. And if you're in that place where you're living that, then may you I pray that God would lead you to repentance. But verse 12, or chapter 12, reading verses 14 through 21 as we close. Paul writes to the church in Rome, inspired by the Holy Spirit, bless those who persecute you. Aren't these tough? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Imagine somebody you're mad. I just had this thought. And you leave room for God to work in their life, and he saves them from their sin. Take that, buddy. Oh, amen, isn't it? Imagine that. Oh, man. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. We've looked at that before. That's just not, hey, I'm a cookie, buddy. No, that's it's the meaning here of repentance. You lead them to repentance. We don't have time to study that together right now. But here, wrapping it up, do not be overcome by evil. Ah, so hard here. But overcome evil with good. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we hear your words, and we thank you for your words. Father, you know where we are as your followers. Lord, you know where we are if we're not your followers. You know those who are in our life. You know the work that you can and desire to do through us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us keep our eyes and our hearts, our minds, Lord, all that we are, tuned to all that you are. So regardless of our situation, may it be joyous or may it be devastating, Lord, that we can glorify you, and Father, you can work in our life in a way that changes the lives of others. We pray, Lord, you'd bind the enemy that comes against us and brings temptation, Lord, that we would not be overcome with evil, but Lord, that we would overcome evil with good. Not our goodness, but only the goodness that comes through your Holy Spirit in us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, maybe you're here today, and maybe you're one that has yet to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He has paid the price for us. He has showed the ultimate mercy, and where we deserve death, he has redeemed us or offered that redemption. Friend, if you're in a place where you're a mean Christian, I encourage you to repent. There's no place in this world for somebody who would claim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to be a person who lives in ways that Scripture calls evil. There's no way for it. And I encourage you to repent. It's very possible that the way you live is actually turning people away from God rather than drawing them. But may we become a people who do seek God with all that we are, trusting that we cannot plan, we cannot organize ever the supernatural things that God can do through us. It comes by our just being humble before him and seeking him daily, and that he works through the good and the bad to change lives. We're in a war. We don't talk about that. We want to dress up and want to feel good when we leave. But the reality is that we're in a war. And sometimes it's not a war that we can fight in the way that the Marine Corps would teach you how to fight, or the world would teach you how to fight. But that fight just comes to submitting and surrendering to him, and that through that we can change, or he can change the world through us.